From sea to shining sea and around the world, this is Coast to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone, filling in for the legendary George Norrie. And today we have a show that really definitively proves that we are through the looking glass. Coming up in just a few moments, Alex Jones is going to come on and talk about our descent into tyranny. Have you heard of the National Defense Authorization Act? Well, maybe not. But what I'm sure you've heard of is due process. When you get arrested, you're presumed innocent, you're taken to jail, you get a phone call. But all that can change now. You can be treated like a prisoner of war, thrown in a deep dark hole without anybody knowing about it, thanks to this act, which just passed with overwhelming support, waiting for the president's signature. We're going to talk about the devastating consequences of that with Alex in just a few minutes. And in the next half hour, Greg Hunter joins us and talks about the incident that just happened in Iran, where a U.S. spy plane was shot down by Iranian Air Force or their missile defense. And now they're threatening to block their oil exports, which could have extreme dire consequences for the world's economy. And that means, yeah, more madness yet to come. He's also going to talk about the unrest in the Middle East. And in the second hour and in the hours to follow, this is where we're going to have an extremely fascinating discussion with Philip Copens. This is about ancient aliens. We're going to talk about new questions, new inquiries about the existence, the evidence, and the influence of ancient visitors. A lot of ground to cover, and we're going to get to it right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're joined now with Alex Jones. We're going to talk about this new act that was just passed, National Defense Authorization Act, which sounds harmless enough, but it really has extreme consequences. It is an end to due process. It is an erosion of the Constitution, and it should be startling for anybody who has any sense of liberty and the republic that which we live in. Alex Jones, welcome back to the program.
Rob, it's great to be here. Thank you for covering this because it's not getting the attention it deserves. It is truly an end of our republic if this bill that's now passed the House and Senate going to the president's desk is implemented. It is startling in how brazen and over the top it is. It ends posse comitatus, the 1878 law, barring the military from engaging in domestic operations. So it's a total federal power grab. But more importantly, it declares that the Pentagon can arrest any U.S. citizens anytime they want, and that you can disappear into a black hole and never be given a trial. In fact, they don't have to even tell the public that you've even been arrested. Not even Nazi Germany put stuff like this on the books. They just did it.
Not well, our servicemen
did things like this. Only North Korea has similar things on the book. And now America is becoming not a leading light of liberty worldwide and an example of freedom, but now an example of corruption and oppression all over the world. Tin-pot dictators are saying, hey, don't criticize us for secret arrest and torture and things like this and surveillance. You do it. So it's just incredible to see this unfold. But also, it declares the entire world a battlefield. It is a unilateral declaration of war globally, including domestically. And Rand Paul and others have pointed out, and the authors of the bill pretty much admit it's true, Lindsey Graham, the senator, that this declares America a war zone, the American people the enemy. This Congress, the leadership that publicly engages in insider trading and other crimes, this government involved in Fast and Furious, shipping guns into Mexico and drugs into the United States. That's even in the New York Times. More of the iceberg is emerging now. We've only seen the tip. This group of criminals at the top knows that we're awakening to them, an awakening to their global takeover. And so they're putting the most draconian, not even anti-American. I mean, it's beyond that. It's bona fide, brazen, naked, off the charts tyranny. It is indescribably unbelievable.
Well, let me just break this down. So people, I mean, who was the author of this bill?
Lindsey Graham and good old John McCain cooked this thing up. I mean, it's a cobbling together of his belligerent act he tried to pass 3 years ago. It was basically written by groups connected to the RAND Corporation and others for a long time. I mean, I've been to urban warfare drills in my film Police State 2000, free online, been out 12, 13 years now. I went to urban warfare drills and videotaped Marines and Army and others training for gun confiscation and things like this. So I knew this was coming for a long time. And so basically, people like Graham and McCain, they're just carrying the football for the big six mega banks that are destroying this country by design.
And tell me, how close was the vote?
Well, that's what's even scarier, and I'm glad you brought that up, Rob. 93-7. 93 of the Republicans and Democrats, the vast majority, 93 of 100 senators. I mean, this wasn't even a close vote. They stabbed the Republic right in the heart by a giant majority. And 2 weeks ago, when this was getting attention by the ACLU and Ron Paul and Rand Paul and myself and others, I know George Norrie was covering it here on Coast to Coast AM, they came out and said, oh, it doesn't affect citizens. That's ridiculous. Because one section said that, but then another section said, unless we say so. And then later, Senator Graham and others said, you bet it does. And so whenever the public woke up to the fact the government went from lying and saying it didn't exist to, okay, it does, and that's just the way it is. And for those that don't know, we went to war in 1776 because the British Army, and of course we were British citizens here in the 13 colonies, the British Army was setting up checkpoints, roadblocks, occupying the cities. And so our country was founded. The straw that broke the camel's back was military occupation here in the United States. What was the 13 colonies? And so we had July 4th, the rest is history, Declaration of Independence. Then, after Lincoln was killed at the end of the Civil War, Stanton and that was the Secretary of the Army, and of course Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, the president, involved in all of his corruption, they occupied the southern states, but not to unify the Union. Even pro-northern historians admit it was all about looting and taking over infrastructure and land. And after a decade-long brush rebellions, you name it, they passed the Posse Comitatus, which in Latin basically translates out to, you are not going to have a federal posse. You are not going to have federal troops running around doing whatever they want. It's a violation of the 10th Amendment, and that's a federal law. And this absolutely blows Posse Comitatus into a trillion pieces. They've eaten around the edges. They've blown some big holes in it. Now they have flamethrowed like a giant dragon. They've burned this thing to the ground on paper. Let's see them try to implement. But remember, I'm on record 9 years ago saying TSA is going to be on the streets of America because I watched C-SPAN and saw a meeting where they admitted it. Now, all over the country, the feds are running checkpoints under TSA command, Army, Marines, others. And this is from California to Tennessee. You'll pull up. I mean, this is in the newspapers and on TV, but only locally. You pull up, and there's 14, 15 federal and state agencies searching family cars. Just randomly, the borders are basically open, but this is going on. It's all about setting a federal domination precedent, Rob. And historically, anybody who's been to a third world country knows the military is on the streets when you have a corrupt system running things. Everybody knows in North Korea or communist China, you know, the military is on the streets. And now it's coming here, and all of this is being done because they can't deny we're in a depression. They can't deny it's been engineered. They can't deny that we don't really owe these debts, that they're derivatives created by the mega banks who paid off government to sign the public onto their debts. Same banks in Europe, same system there. All over the world, the same global corporate model is being put into place. And the good news is when police and military are confronted with this information, they overwhelmingly are upset and don't like what's happening. Case point example, new numbers just came out last week in Bloomberg.
Okay.
The majority of military donations for both parties for presidential candidates go to Ron Paul. Obama and all the other Republican candidates combined don't give as much money, the military people do, as they do to Ron Paul. That shows they're awake. And so I think the establishment should think about that. Ron Paul and his son are the only people at a congressional level, other than a few junior people that have just gotten in this year, who will speak out against it. And the military says, we support the Pauls. We support the Constitution. So that's a ray of hope in a otherwise very dismal situation. But the Republic's still here, Rob. You know, you're talking to tens of millions of people right now. You've got me on the air. You care enough to cover this. And so we still have the First Amendment for now. But government is openly announcing internet kill switch, fairness doctrines, censorship. They're pushing that in Congress as well. So the tyrants know the people are awakening to them. They don't want to go to jail like Ken Lay or Bernie Madoff, because the criminals running this society make Ken Lay and Bernie Madoff look like choir boys.
Okay, it's passed the House and Senate. It's waiting to be signed. What's next, and what does the ACLU have to say about this?
Well, it's a complex issue. The ACLU has done an analysis and says that it is the most unconstitutional piece of legislation in modern history. And unfortunately, that's putting it lightly. I mean, there are not words to describe this. Obama has said he will veto it. He said that last Monday, President Obama. But the problem is, last year when they tried to pass a similar bill, Obama's lawyers at the White House said, we're not going to sign this because we've already announced we can do this through the executive, and we don't need Congress. So it's the branches of government and the separation of powers, as the founders designed it, fighting with each other. He's saying, I don't need you to go to war, just like he did with Libya. He says, I go to the UN for that, which is a violation of the Constitution. And he has said, we will arrest citizens, we will kill citizens, and we're all lock. He's an example. And they always set precedents with something that sounds reasonable. Well, he's Al-Qaeda, let's not have a trial. Well, wouldn't you want that intelligence? Wouldn't you want to go ahead and arrest him? But the point here is, you asked some really good questions, Rob, is that they're now moving into this phase of saying the president doesn't even need this legislation to do this. And then on Thursday, the White House lawyers put a press release out saying we may have the president oppose this and still veto it because we already have this power, and then gave the example of killing U.S. citizens extrajudicially via the military in assassination. So it's basically an even higher level of tyranny, because it's bad enough to have the Congress doing this, but at least there's a diverse group and they're elected, and it's Congress that makes the laws and the legislative, the executive that executes, hence they're the executive. And so the president's handlers are even going one further. It's just unspeakable.
Well, what's really shocking is now the Defense Department has the same powers as the police and the FBI. They can go arrest people without any due process. And what kind of shape will that come in? Is this a new secret, military police that are going to go arresting civilians?
Yes, sir. You've hit the nail again on the head. That is exactly what happened in 2008. Ron Paul called for protest to the Fed. Instead of just protesting Wall Street or something, let's go after the actual cartel of six megabanks that's anti-free market, waging war against the rest of society publicly for consolidation. So I went and protested the Dallas Fed. Ron Paul protested the Houston Fed and gave a speech. And it was leaked to us and made national news later out of Camp Mabry, Austin, the Army base. Now, again, good people inside the Army leaked this. And the government admitted, yes, it's true, but that's classified. We're going to find out who leaked this, but thank God they didn't. That all over the country, at 30-plus Fed locations, at the main 12 locations and the sublocations, they had undercover U.S. Army intelligence in plain clothes. And the memo that they gave the Army intelligence officers that went out to spy on the In the Fed protest said, don't let them know you're Army. They may try to kill you. They're a terrorist. Now, the Army knows Alex Jones isn't a terrorist. Ron Paul isn't a terrorist. And so they leaked this information, because they understand this is treason. But that's the point. It even came out in Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, whether you love him or hate him. they admit that, again, in Houston, Texas, but also they showed in a case in California, that peaceful, nonviolent anti-war groups that get together once a week and literally bake cookies had the military spying on them and other federal agencies. So it's beyond a federal power grab. The military is trained to kill people and break things, to defend the Republic, to defend America. They swear an oath to the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. And they swear an oath to defend that from enemies foreign and domestic. And so now this is our military we pay for. The drones, the surveillance, the face scanning cameras, all the high-tech systems, the data mining, the threat fusion centers that are federalizing police, all of this. This is the classic thing you see in third world countries where the military takes over. But in this case, we have a foreign banking group that's come in, gotten their politicians in place in Europe, here in the U.S. and other nations, and is looting through the treasuries. And then they're involved in long-term programs to give questionnaires. You know, it came out 20 years ago. It came out, in fact, 21 years ago, they had the 29 Palms survey and others where they asked the Marines, will you fire on American citizens? And 77% said no. Well, they just take that 20-something percent, what, 23% or so, and they put them into programs. They streamline those Marines and Army people to be police officers. They take those cadres and they build basically a secret army of people that, for whatever reason, power, a paycheck, ignorance, will wage war against the people. And it was Hitler that used the military against the Germans and then the rest of the world. It was Stalin that used the military against the Russians and the rest of the world. It was Mao that used the Chinese military against his own people and then against neighbors. This is the same thing Caesar did 2,040-something years ago, or I guess now 2,060-something years ago. Julius Caesar marched the army. It was illegal in Italy, in Rome, to bring the military into the country. Why? Because they weren't stupid. The military's for outside the country. It's an incredible danger for thousands of years to have a military inside the country that can engage the population, because you will always have a king, a Caesar, a leader of the Roman Senate who will become king using the military. It is 101. It is the absolute bona fide red alert crisis, what is now happening. And of course, they're going to beta test the military. You've seen them at the Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby. The conditioning process transcends President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton. This has been a long-term program. And in fact, in deep research, I learned that the Pentagon did some plans for this, threw up some plans for this in 1959, and that Eisenhower killed the program. And that's why he came out and gave his Beware the Military-Industrial Complex speech. He was a former military commander, general, patriot, World War I hero. But he came out and said, hey, it's dangerous to have the military involved domestically. Beware it. What does beware mean? Beware playing in traffic. Beware sticking your hand down rattlesnake holes. What did George Washington say? He said, government is like fire. A dangerous servant and a fearful master. And here we are at the crossroads that the Romans were at with Caesar, that the Germans were at with Hitler. But it's not just a Caesar or a Hitler now we face, or a Stalin. It is a oligarchy of megabanks who are publicly announcing world government, publicly imploding the world economy, and bringing in this system. But they've got to implement it. Don't be intimidated, folks. They want to intimidate you with this, with the torture, the secret arrest, the surveillance. Remember what we got from law enforcement 3 years ago, from state police, federal marshals, and others, were multiple federal and state training manuals where none of the manuals are about Al-Qaeda or foreign enemies.
We're just about out of time. The die is cast, but people should not give up. Alex, thanks for coming in, giving us the update. People can go to Infowars.com to get more information.
It's been amazing. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Alex. And we're just coming up to the break. Yes, we are back. And coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking with Greg Hunter, who is someone who's got more than 10 years of experience working as an investigative correspondent. We're going to talk about the incident that happened over Iran, where they shot down one of the United States spy planes, right? Espionage at its best, some would say. And there are very dramatic ramifications that this event has had. It could upset the whole global economy. We're going to talk about why that's possible. And in the next hour, and the hours to follow, we're going to be speaking with investigative journalist and author Philip Copens about ancient aliens. We're going to talk about the existence, the evidence, and the influence of visitors that have come from different realities, different dimensions, different planets, and perhaps interacted with man, early man, Cro-Magnon man, and had some sort of effect, some sort of lasting image, some sort of influence on the evolution of humanity. All that right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking with Greg Hunter, who has worked for ABC News, Good Morning America, CNN shows such as Paul is On Now, American Morning, and other business shows. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the unsettling news that's coming from the Middle East, and specifically the recent downing of an American spy plane. Greg, welcome to Coast AM.
Good to be here.
So this is something that's just making national news now, and it seems as though it's not quite clear. We know that there is a plane involved, and the Air Force has not really issued any statement, but Iran says they have shot it out of the sky, and now they're holding it. What's the real story as far as you know from this point?
Well, I can tell you what's being reported on both sides. The Iranians say they shot it down, and this is a RQ-170. This is no little balloon. This is a plane with a 65 to 90 feet wingspan. It's stealth. It's $6 million a copy. And, you know, Iran says they shot it down and they have it, so expect if they did, they're going to be rolling that thing out and showing the records. The U.S. says that, well, they could be talking about, a plane that went missing. Listen, a $6 million stealth spy plane with a 90-foot wingspan didn't just get lost. So, this is something where the Iranians are saying they're going to retaliate. How are they going to retaliate? Well, their retaliation is the Straits of Hormuz. Shutting down the Straits of Hormuz is everyone's nightmare in the world. It's a 30-mile stretch on the eastern edge of the Persian Gulf. It's a 30-mile narrow stretch where shipping tankers, 40% of the world's oil, moves through there. And Iran wouldn't really have to do that much. They would just have to make a statement saying any ship that goes through there is going to be subject to, a speedboat attack or RPG or mines or whatever. And there is nobody in the world going to take their assets and put it through the Straits of Hormuz, no matter how much protection they have. The price of oil would skyrocket. On top of that, the Senate, just in this dreadful plan they voted, where they can hold somebody indefinitely, American citizens indefinitely, they also voted to increase the sanctions against Iran. And the world is doing this. And if you put this whole puzzle together, you had the Iranian students going into the British embassy and sacking it. They're expelling, diplomats in Great Britain. British have removed their diplomats. This whole thing has gotten pretty ugly pretty fast. On top of that, there was a story on Chinese state-run television, and where they were talking about how China would back Iran if it were attacked.
By the United States.
Even if it caused World War III.
Or does it matter if Israel attacks them or the United States attacks them?
Even if Israel attacks them, we have the Fifth Fleet in the Persian Gulf in Bahrain, and that has to be part of their plans to attack, U.S. Navy ships in the Middle East. This thing could spit out of control so fast. On the other side, in the Mediterranean, you have Syria, and you have a violent protest, that some say is sponsored by the West over there. The Russian Navy is off the coast of Syria. They have reportedly given Syria cruise missile technology. China has given Iran reportedly missile technology that can hit Iran. Also, probably, I'm sure, anti-Navy, anti-aircraft carrier ships, you name it. This could get out. And then you have I think is frightening and underreported on state-run television, and nothing happens on Chinese state-run television without the guys on top throwing holy water on it, and that is they would risk World War III. They would back Iran. And the reason why they would is because Iran and China do a big trade with oil. And, you know, Iran doesn't have near the refining capability it needs to produce all of its fuel and gasoline, so they send crude to China. They pay China with some of the crude, and China sends back, you know, refined products like gasoline and diesel fuel. So they're big, big allies and big trading partners, and it's a vital natural, you know, a natural asset that China needs for its industry and its country.
Well, I'm a little confused. I thought these drones would have some sort of self-destruct capability if it did go down unexpectedly.
Well, maybe the self-destruct capability didn't work. Maybe it was taken down too fast. You know, I don't know. It's a $6 million plane. It's some, you know, but the U.S. kind of admits that they've lost a plane that has been that has been reported at least by Reuters that the U.S. is saying, well, that could have been a missing plane out of Afghanistan, which of course borders Iran. But then again, you know, Iran is very upset that it's being spied on. You know, you have to remember too that there's been a couple of explosions in the last month or so with its nuclear facilities. Now, you know, even Israel has made statements and did not they did not claim responsibility, but they didn't. But they said it wasn't an accident either. And so, you know, the world is building up these sanctions against Iran because, you know, the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, came out and said, yeah. You know, we've confirmed that they're pretty much building a nuclear weapons, which, you know, for years they told us, oh, no, we're not doing that. We want it for peaceful purposes, you know, that whole yada, yada, yada thing. And this is really, really a situation, you know, if you take a look at the, you know, the European situation over there and the big bailout going on, you know, we're talking about, they call it a debt crisis, but what it really should be called is a solvency crisis. People like Nigel Farage, who is an MEP, a member of the European Parliament, is saying things like, it just has to, you know, with this big intervention that you know, spiked the market 490 points last week, you know, this is just has to be, it smells like, it seems like there's some big, big banks over there that are teetering on insolvency. That's almost his exact words. Meredith Whitney, the banking analyst in CNN, this is a very underreported story. You know, she is the star banking analyst, and she was one of the first people to say, yeah, Citigroup's going to have to cut their dividends. And everybody just, this one, Citigroup is $50 a share, right? This is before, $300-400 billion in bailout. And she says, well, you know, this is just about a month ago, you know, there's going to be banking failures in Europe. They just can't bail them all out. And that's the big underreported story, is that what's coming is banking failures. And I think they're going to have to print tons of money just to pick the winners that they want to bail out. But add that into the, you know, the global, fragile global, you know, economy, and not just, you know, in Europe, but in the U.S. and other parts of the world. You know, China, growth is slowing down over there. And if you add, you know, right now we have oil at $100 a barrel, $115 a barrel, depending on where it is, Brent or U.S. If the Straits of Hormuz, where 40% of the world's oil is even talked about being shut down, you could see oil go to 150, 200, 250, 300. Gas would be, right now it's around $3 or $4 a gallon, depending on what coast you are, what part of the country you're in. But it, you know, gasoline could go to $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon in a hurry with $300 oil.
We'd be walking to work.
That would crush the world economy. That would cause a daisy chain of defaults that is just unparalleled in human history. And this is so big, it boggles the mind how complicated. Yes, we've had world war before, but not world nuclear war where nukes were involved. Not where, you know, the other side, we were the only ones that had them in World War II, at the end of World War II. We were it. But now several countries have nukes. Even Israel has 200 to 300, you know, nuclear weapons. It's you know, the unofficial account, you know, account of Israel's weapons, and they have missiles to send them, far away. You know, they can go all the way to Europe. They can go to all the way to Iran. That's for sure. I'm not saying that they're going to start a nuclear war. However, if something's lobbed at them, this could get out of control in a hurry.
Well, let me ask you this. Maybe we could look at this a different way. There's no secret, and I'm sure Iran is not surprised that we're spying on them with these high-flying aircraft. It could it be that they're just doing some saber-rattling, that they're making a big noise so that they can work some deal, which they I think they do often, where America will say, okay, we'll give you some of the Iranian spies that we've captured, and in return, you'll, you know, quietly back down.
Well, that you're right. That could happen. However, but this one-upsmanship, and this is me, I'm just putting my my skeptical hat on. I just don't think a bunch of students ran into the British embassy in Iran without being pushed or helped or told it was okay. And maybe that was a cover for them not only just to ransack the embassy, but it's long, you know, been understood that, you know, embassies in other countries and Soviets here and us in the Soviet Union do spying operations. Maybe they wanted to find out what the Brits knew. They also had these big explosions with their nuclear, you know, facilities. They've had, you know, generals die. They've had, you know, important key scientists be, you know, killed. And so I don't know if it's just saber rattling, you know, the sanctions that we've just put up with Timothy Geithner and Hillary Clinton, where they're going to go after their oil exports, which is great, which is really going to cut off oil to China. And because they're a big trading partner, and also their you know, global banking interest, they're going to try to stop them from you know, getting access to the global banking system, which will hurt them in terms of selling their oil. I mean, they can't trade for everything. They can't just trade. They need money, just like anything else. Maybe they would, instead of trying to saber rattle, maybe they would try to shut down the Straits of Hormuz. I mean, Iran is a formidable country now. They're not a match for U.S. military might, but they could do major damage to the world economy. How long would they have to hold oil at $250 or $300 a barrel? How long? A couple of months? Two, three, 4 months? How long would people have to, all of a sudden, you're paying $3.50 at the pump or $4 at the pump, and all of a sudden you're paying $8 at the pump? That's going to cause bankruptcy here in the U.S., individual bankruptcy. People would stop making even more of their house payments. That would cause companies to fold. That would cause industry to stop. There'd be fuel charges on surcharges on airlines. This is just coming up with off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And it's already... And we're talking about a Federal Reserve that in the last crisis pumped out $16 trillion to hand out to everybody around the globe. We're talking about $7 trillion just handed out to the banking industry. This is an unparalleled time in history. And where several players have nuclear weapons, the resources are tight, i.e. oil. And the global economy is the polar opposite of what it was in the 90s. In the 90s, I mean, we could take a hit. We had the savings and loan crisis, which was 70 times smaller than what we have now, according to William Black, who's a professor of economics, law, and former banking regulator. But we can't take the hit. There's not a lot of wiggle room with the economy. I say there's zero. Anything that happens, and even if we don't have nuclear war, even if we get out of this whole mess without anything happening, there is big questions about Europe, about bankruptcy, about systemic crisis, solvency. There are plenty of people out there that think that, for example, this Anne Barnhart, who shut her brokerage down because of the MF Global bankruptcy. Did you hear about her?
Yes.
She has, 14 years experience. This is no, this is no dumb woman. This is a smart, very
a real
accomplished
player.
Trader.
Yep.
And she says that it's going to cost $25 trillion just to start to bail out Europe. Now, there's stuff breaking over the wires that, you know, Merkel and Sarkozy are going to have a trillion euro plan. And she says $25 trillion just to start and $100 trillion dollars to really bail out the rest of Europe. Does that sound crazyville to you? Well, at Davos, Switzerland, on around the 18th of January of this year, $100 trillion number was exactly what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question. I mean, Iran is at the center. That's the linchpin of this world unraveling at the moment. Every day they're enriching more uranium. But I wonder what it's going to take. Do you think really enforced hard sanctions can bring them in line, or is someone going to have to do a tactical strike and start cutting this country apart militarily?
Well, this is going to be one of those. Number one, no. Do I think sanctions will work? And the answer is no. A friend of mine is from Iran. He's an American citizen. He's a loyal American citizen, and he sent me a thing about showing the pictures, I mean multiple big wide-shot pictures of Iranians living in luxury. And the uptake of all this whole video that he sent me was so much for the sanctions. I mean, they're driving around in Mercedes, and they're wearing Gucci. And
they get everything from China.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the good stuff. They're living... You know, they're living high. And the Iranians, you know, the sad thing about the whole Iranian thing is they are really more like the West than any other part of the Middle East. Now, I am, you know, an American citizen and loyal to my country, but I'm telling you that on the outset, they have more female doctors in Iran than anywhere else in the Middle East. They don't make their women wear burqas. Now, they are a theocracy, and they're not a friend of the United States, and we have, you know, many differences with them, but there are some things about them that make it kind of sad that if we have to have war with Iran, it's kind of sad. Listen, nobody wins in this situation. There's nobody going to be a winner at the end of the day if this thing, even if it doesn't, you know, unravel into a nuclear contest. All they have to say, the Iranians, is, you know, we're going to slow down the oil traffic or stop the oil traffic as much as we can out of the Straits of Hormuz. Oil would at least go to $200 a barrel.
Well, wouldn't that affect their economy, too?
Do what?
Wouldn't that affect their economy, too?
Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, how long can you guys hold out with not having oil, and how long can we hold out, and what sacrifices we have to do, and who's going to say uncle first?
Well, what's their end game? I mean, are they just trying to, or at least, you know, when I say they, I mean this group that's running this country. Obviously, the people are yearning to be free on the majority. But are they just trying to get to be a nuclear power so they can have the same rights?
The answer to that is yes, and I'll tell you why. And this is something that stuck in my head. At the end of the Gulf War, they were interviewing Tariq Aziz from Iraq. And the question was, is there anything you learned from your war with the United States and the coalition forces? And he said, yes, never go to war with a superpower without a thermonuclear device. And I think that the Iranians, you know, want that. Of course, this scares the daylights out of Saudi Arabia. You know, not just a few months back, they got $60 billion in armament from the U.S. It's one of the biggest arms sales in the history of the Middle East. $60 billion. The picture in the Middle East is not... is not a calming down, is not something we're moving towards peace and love and happiness. People are arming themselves. The countries are arming themselves. You have on one side the Shia, which is a minority in the Middle East, and then you have the Sunni, which is the majority, which is most of the Arab League, right? They condemned Syria.
We're just about out of time, but I want to to get people to go to your website. Greg Hunter, your website is USAWatchdog.com. It's linked up right now through Coast to Coast AM, and you're absolutely right. This is a real story with real consequences. This one you just can't put aside. We're going to have to really think about this one and the consequences. And you know, it's just the cost of doing business on the planet Earth. And speaking of the planet Earth, coming up soon, we're going to be talking about next hour, Philip Copens, and talking about ancient astronauts.